name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and I have the great fortune once again of having Father Clovis in the studio here talking about that wonderful apparition of Our Lady of Revelation, Tre Fontane. Now, Father, I had no idea when I invited you to come along that you had actually been present at one of the miracles on 12th of April,
1989.
Amazing. So, and we didn't even stop at 3 o'clock, I'm sorry, Lord, to do the Divine Mercy Prayer, because it was just so riveting to hear about the miracle of the sun. So, Father, let's go back a little bit. Would you like, because you've actually done talks on Tre Fontane, can you, for those people who might have just tuned in today and don't listen to the program, would you like to tell us a little bit about Bruno Cornocchiola and his background and why Our Lady appeared to him that day?
Okay. Bruno Cornocchiola. We'll call him Bruno because his surname's quite difficult.
I know, I always trip over it, yes.
Born in 1913, so that's just 4 years before the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima. And the apparition of Tre Fontane is related also, of course, to Fatima, certainly in the miracle of the sun, but also, more important, in the message itself. In fact, it's thought that because the Pope and the bishops had not paid attention to Our Lady's message at Fatima, that she came to Rome to make the point. Anyway, Bruno was born in 1913. His family, somewhat impoverished materially. His parents were lukewarm Catholics, which, of course, is sadly the case even today for so many Catholics. His upbringing was brutal, a lot of domestic violence, something we're familiar with today as well. And consequently, his religious formation was poor. And not surprisingly, he also was a non-practicing Catholic. He, as you would expect, growing up in a rather rough neighborhood, he was involved in gangs and the other deviancies that are associated with teenagers. However, at the age of 23, he married Yolanda Logato. And a few months later, he left for Spain to fight in the Spanish Civil War. It was there, in fact, he fought against the communists, because I think the money was better. It was there that he met a German Protestant, and in his discussions with this man, he developed an intense hatred for Catholicism. And so it was so intense that he made a vow that he would kill the Pope, and he went to buy a dagger specially for that purpose. What is interesting, when I gave the talk in Rome, Archbishop Vigano told me that it wasn't a dagger, that it was a bayonet, which of course makes sense, and that when Bruno did eventually gave the weapon to Pope Pius XII, saying, "This is what I intended to kill you with," the Pope gave it to his undersecretary at the time, Giovanni Battista Montini.
Okay.
Who, of course, became Pope Paul VI. He gave it to him, and the Montini left it in the Secretary of State. And it stayed there all of those years. And it was only recently discovered. And so the Archbishop said that he, in fact, had seen it. It's now in the museum associated with the Secretary of State.
So, Father, just let me interrupt you for a second. You gave a talk just recently in Rome?
Yes, yes.
So what was that? Was it a conference?
It was a conference, yes. It was the Rome Life Forum.
Right.
Anyway, he intended to kill the Pope. In 1939, after the Civil War, he returned to Rome and to his wife, who was a practicing Catholic. But his hatred was such that he forbade her to practice and even to not to take the children to church. In addition to that, he physically abused her. And he destroyed everything that had any religious significance in the house. He then went on to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And, of course, that was really, I suppose, a living hell for his wife. And he badgered her continually to join him as an Adventist. And as you know, the Adventists have an intense hatred, also fanatical hatred for the Catholicism and for the Pope. And he badgered her. She agreed eventually, but she made one condition, that he make the 9 First Fridays devotion. And she said, if after that you still wish to become an Adventist, I would join. And she did this.
Now, Father, can you just, if someone is listening and they're not a Catholic, can you explain what the 9 First Friday devotion is?
Sure. In 1689, our Lord appeared to Sister Margaret Mary Alacoque, a nun in the Visitation Convent in Paray-le-Monial, which is in France. And he asked Sister Margaret Mary to spread the devotion to his heart, namely that there would be confession, receiving the Eucharist, attending Mass, of course, and all done in an act of reparation for the offenses against his Sacred Heart, basically that of ingratitude. You know, he displayed his heart to us, said, you see this heart which has loved mankind, all it receives in return is ingratitude, so console me. And this apparition, of course, has a rich history as well, because the request that was made was that the king, Louis XIV, would consecrate himself, his family, and France to the Immaculate, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the Lord promised that if he did this, he, the Lord, would make Louis the greatest of the kings of earth. He would bless him, and he would bless France. Louis basically didn't. And the consequence was 100 years later, his great-grandson, Louis XVI, was guillotined. In fact, the revolution, the French Revolution, began on the same day, in exactly 100 years later. You know, so the devotion of to the Sacred Heart, the 9 First Fridays, is essentially one to make a reparation for the ingratitude that we show to the Lord. And of course, it's also one where we can ask favors of the Lord. And basically, we ask the greatest favor we can ask is that of conversion, which is what Yolanda did. She asked.
And just, Father, the promises of that devotion, there are grace for.
There's a grace, yeah. And the grace is that the Lord will provide all all of the graces necessary so that one will die in his favor. You know, then that other promises as well. But he promised that he would give to the person who fulfills the conditions the grace of dying in his favor and so attain salvation. Mm. Anyway, so his wife trusted God, and she was convinced somehow that the Lord would convert her husband. So the 9 Fridays passed, and he insisted that he wanted to become an Adventist, and she reluctantly followed him. As an Adventist, then undertook a series of lectures, or rants, basically, against Our Blessed Lady. And he prepared his talks, his rants, meticulously, and deliver them on street corners and wherever anyone would give him an ear. On this particular day, on the 12th of April, 1947, he's about 34 years old, he decided to take his 3 children, Isola, Carlo, and Gianfranco, to Trefontaine. It was a Saturday, and he wanted some time to prepare a rant he was planning for the following day. He particularly wanted to attack the doctrine of the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven. So he, because at that time, we're talking about 1947, of course, there was the great move, for the definition of the dogma. And as he was passing a statue of Our Lady, on which it was written Virgin and Mother, he crossed it, he gouged it out, crossed it off, and said, "You're not neither a virgin nor a mother." And he went to Trefontane, which was then a park. As I said, it was on a little hillock, close to the place where St. Paul had been beheaded. That's why it's received its name, Three Fountains, Trefontane. And he went to the little hill, which was shaded, the eucalyptus trees. And it is also a place of ill repute. It is known for prostitution and for fornication and other sins against chastity. And he settled down to thumb in through his Bible and making notes in his attack on Our Lady. And his children were playing, as children do in the park. And then they lost their ball. And it came disturbing him. At least the two elder, Isolo and Carlo, came to him, asked him to help him look for the ball. And
we've got a few minutes to go.
Yeah. So he put aside his notes and his Bible, and he went looking for the ball. And suddenly he came to the entrance of this dark cave, and he saw his last son, Gianfranco, just 4 years old, on his knees, with his hands clasped in front of him, gazing into the cave. And saying, beautiful lady, and he was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do. And as he turned around, the other two children, Isolo and Carlo, they fell to their knees as well. And their hands were clasped, and they were saying, beautiful lady, beautiful lady. He tried to move them, and he could not lift them. They were like, lead. No, he just couldn't lift them. And of course, as you imagine, he started to panic because he didn't know what was going on. And he couldn't see anything. He was momentarily blinded instantly. And then something grabbed him by the face, and shook him. And his sight returned, and he saw this woman of indescribable beauty, as he described her later. Her head was suffused by light, a brilliant golden light, and she was wearing a radiant white dress gathered together with a rose-colored sash and a striking green mantle, which I mentioned when I saw the image for the first time. I thought, this doesn't look right. I take that back. and her feet were bare, but at her bare feet, there was a smash crucifix on the black cloth, and her face was generally very sad, and yet there was a motherly kindness about her. In her right hand she held a small grey book resting on her breast, and her hands were crossed over her chest.
Alright, Father, okay, we have come to 3 o'clock, Divine Mercy time. Now, we were going so fast last week, we missed it all together. So, Father, could I ask you to lead us, please?
Sure. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, Father, so what did Our Lady have to say to Bruno?
Well, she identified herself, first of all, as I am the one that is of the Divine Trinity. That is, the daughter of the Eternal Father, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and the mother of the Divine Son. So she has a unique relationship with the Blessed Trinity, something no creature, no other creature, neither angelic nor human, can claim. And secondly, she said, I'm the Virgin of Revelation. Remember that Bruno was studying the Bible, in particular the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, because he wanted to disprove the assumption, the dogmatic assumption of Our Blessed Lady. Then she addressed him sternly, you persecute me, stop it now, enter into the true fold. And then, that is God's kingdom on earth. She said, the nine first Fridays of the Sacred Heart have saved you. And that is enough to make anybody think, you know.
Yes, wow.
And then she revealed to Bruno the sad condition of his soul. He immediately understood that the only means of salvation was through, in fact, through the Catholic Church. Our Lady then said to him, pray much and recite the rosary for the conversion of unbelievers and of all Christians. And then she went on to make a promise, saying that this place I shall perform wonderful miracles for the conversion of unbelievers. Now, what is interesting is that he had this infused knowledge of the faith. This was a man who had not been catechized. He'd never been to church. In fact, he was anti-Catholic. And yet he had this infused knowledge of the faith. The same gift that St. Paul had on the road to Damascus. And St. Paul tells us that. He says, I didn't go to any of those who were apostles before me. I went off into Arabia. Mm-hmm. It's also the same kind of gift that was given to the Jew, Alphonse Ratisbonne, who was converted when he went to the church of St. Andrea in Rome, and St. Andrea del Frate, which is close to the Spanish Steps. And he was very anti-Catholic as well, Alphonse. He, in fact, he even resented even being in Rome to begin with. But nonetheless, he found himself there providentially, but he thought by accident. And he'd gone to the church because a friend, the brother of a friend, had died, and they'd gone to make the funeral arrangements. And he was wondering about the church, looking at the various artwork there. And suddenly, Our Lady appeared to him. And again, you know, the conversion was instantaneous. He had the full grasp of the faith, and in fact, that miracle was through the miraculous medal. You know, he became not only a Catholic, became a priest and founded the congregation for the conversion of Jews. Mm. You know, yeah. So this is the same kind of gift, grace that was given to him. The dirt of the grotto, which up to that time had been a place of immorality, it would prove to be miraculous. And the soil, in fact, has been the means by which many people have been cured of various diseases, very much like the water of Lourdes. So, of course, Bruno's conversion, instantaneous. The children themselves speak and saying what they had seen. Bruno's friends and associates thought him to be crazy. Well, not surprising. This conversion was so instantaneous, so miraculous, so unbelievable. Some thought that he was a fraud, that he was trying some scam on them. And this caused him much suffering because he knew what he had seen. He knew what he had been through. He was even subject to questioning by the police and by psychiatrists, as were the children. And, you know, they found him to be perfectly normal. There was nothing wrong with him mentally. And he stuck to the story, you know. He said exactly what had happened. And before long, the apparition was approved. And this was in record time. Mm-hmm. And the question is, why? And the answer is that Our Lady had appeared at Tre Fontane 10 years before, in 1937, on the same day, the 12th of the same date, the 12th of April. There was a young woman, Luigina Sinapi, who had arranged a pilgrimage to the Abbey of Tre Fontane, that's where St. Paul had been decapitated, with a parish group. And walking through the eucalyptus wood, she came across the remains of an aborted child, which she reverently buried. And quite unexpectedly, Our Lady appeared to her and said, "Turn to this place, because I need the assistance of a man who persecutes the church and wants to kill the Pope. So go to St. Peter's, and you will meet a lady dressed in black." Well, that alone. You know,
lots of ladies dressed in black.
Yes. My own experience tells me that. Yes. Anyway,
now,
you meet.
Father, I'm going to have to. This is absolutely riveting. We're going to have to save this for next week.
Okay.
So, would that be all right?
We'll
start with Luigina next week. And we will. I don't know where the time goes. 25 minutes. I need an hour. But so, thank you, Father, very, very much for that. Absolutely amazing. Please make sure you listen.
The